come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
The last time you were together, you studied chapter 12, and we saw the martyring of James and the Lord setting Peter free. Yesterday, I saw the movie, is it called Breaking Through or Breakthrough? Okay, and so in that, you really need to go see it. If you haven't seen it, you really need to go see it. It really is encouraging, and it is enlightening, and it is helps us believe. So in that movie, though, it included the question, why does God heal some and not others? And the answer is only God knows. Only God knows. Why did James have to die and yet Peter was set free by a work of the Holy Spirit? God knows. God knows. We don't know those answers, but we continue to pray for healing. We continue to expect the Lord to heal. We continue to have faith in Him. And whatever He does is up to Him. We know that we are safe in His hands. And so, but one thing that we see is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being spread throughout the whole world in this chapter that we're going into now. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's how it all started. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we see the strategy that's being used here and seeing how the apostles and the disciples are passing along the news. They didn't set up a Twitter account. They didn't just go to their friends and tell them. They strategically went to different cities and different areas in the area around their different regions, directed by the Holy Spirit, not just where they wanted to go, but where God wanted them to go to do the best work possible. If we want to do the best work possible for the Lord, we better be listening to what He is telling us. And so we find in here that how they did that. They're not just getting a bunch of people, or they're also not just getting a bunch of people saved and believing in Jesus, but in many of these places, they will stay for a length of time to feed the disciples. So often we will bring people to Christ and then we go, okay, there you go. Okay, you're saved. Great. Okay. And the person who has just accepted the Lord is just like, okay, I think I know what that means, but what do I do now? It's like having a baby, giving birth, and then just say, oh, yeah, I gave life. Oh, great, I gave life, and walk away. None of us would ever do that. But when we bring someone to the Lord, and I pray that all of you have had an opportunity at some time in your Christian walk where you have prayed with someone to accept the Lord in one way or another, or you have encouraged them to recommit their lives to the Lord, and then you come alongside them and encourage them, go to Bible study. We'll go to Bible study together. Let's learn together. Let's do these things together, and let's grow together. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did here. And so they would stay and they would teach and they would pray and they would fast and they would model what a life in Christ looks like. And so this is what Barnabas and Paul were up to while they were in Antioch, and then we'll see how they moved on. We'll see how God moved them on, actually. And so verse 1, we'll go through this. I'll try not to speed through this, but yes, this is good. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, now there are seven different Antiochs in this region here, and we're going to see that some of the different ones that they go to are pointed out in here. There were certain prophets and teachers. It's important that we recognize that there were prophets, there were teachers amongst this group. Prophets are the ones who guide by the word of the Holy Spirit. When someone gives a prophecy, it is a forth telling of something that you are to do or that the Lord is speaking to you, giving you direction. So that's what the prophet was doing. We still have prophets today. There are people, it is a gift of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, where someone is getting a word from the Lord and passing that on to other people. And it will be something that tells you on this level. We talked about that before. And then we need teachers. We need those who encourage us, who help us to grow and to help us to know why we believe what we believe. We need that substance in our lives. And teachers are for maturing the believer. And so, and then it goes on to say, with that group was Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice where Saul's name shows up in this list. It's last. Barnabas is in charge here. Barnabas is the one that's in charge. He's the first name that's mentioned. And so Barnabas, we know that his name means son of encouragement. Now, Simeon, we know it is believed that this is the Simeon, or better known as Simon the Cyrene. Simon the Cyrene, who took the cross for Jesus and walked along when he was asked to carry the cross for Jesus during the time of the crucifixion. And so it's believed that that was that Simon. And he was called on to carry, he was there in Jerusalem for the celebration, and he was called on to carry the cross for Jesus. And then we have Lucius the Cyrene. Now, was Lucius the Cyrene, was he related to Simeon? I don't know. Maybe he, when Simeon went back to Cyrene, maybe he went back and he shared with Lucius, and then Lucius came alongside, and now he is also a disciple of Jesus Christ because of what Simeon saw in Christ. And so he had brought him into that group. Manon was a foster brother of Herod Antipas. It says that he, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, he was with, he grew up with Herod. He was brought into that family. Herod Antipas is the Herod that cut off the head of John the Baptist. That's the one that we're talking about that this man grew up with. And so this man now, Manon, is following Jesus. And then we have Saul, and we know that Saul's name means requested one. We know that when we saw King Saul, his name means requested one. And then later, he will be called Paul very soon. And in this chapter, he'll be called Paul. Paul means little. And that's exactly where Paul knew that he was. It's believed that he was a short man, but I don't think that that name, that Greek name, was put on him because he was a short man. I think it was a chosen name because he knew that he was the chief sinner and he was the least of all. And so he knew that about himself. And so as they ministered to the Lord, they're not ministering for the Lord, but they are ministering to the Lord. When we are in worship, when we are here and we are singing and we are dancing or moving around and we are praising the Lord, we are worshiping, we are ministering to the Lord. So in this time that they were ministering to the Lord, they were not only worshiping and singing and praising, but they were fasting. They took away from their bodies that food that they would always be something that would take our attention away, and they would take away that food from them, and during that time of eating, they would seek the Lord. They would take their time to walk with him and to find out what he had to say. When we are ministering to the Lord, it is important that we are listening for the Lord. We get so busy sometimes ministering for the Lord that we don't hear his voice and him telling us what we're to do or where we're to go. But here, as they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. This is an important word. They sent them away. I have known a lot of people who have gone on the mission field because they found a need. They say, oh, there's a need for, I can fill that need. But they were not, neither called nor were they sent. They just went on their way. And when the hard times came, people that we worked with in Australia, when the hard times came, they would say something like, I guess I didn't hear from God, I'm leaving. But when someone is sent, they are sent not just by the people. I'm not talking about the foundations that send people. I'm talking about being called and sent by the Holy Spirit and by a fellowship of believers. And so as they are sent, when those hard times come, then they are able to say to themselves, they are able to strengthen themselves and believe in themselves that God called me to be here, so God's going to give me everything I need to live here and to do this ministry. So they were the sent ones. Back in the day, some of you know of Keith Green. Keith Green had an album that was called Jesus Commands Us to Go. And it one of the phrases is, Jesus commands us to go. It's the exception if we stay. He also said, if God has not told you to stay, he has told you to go. That is not correct. If God has not called you to go, then you stay. You only go when God calls you to go. And you get sent by people that are other believers that are on the same page with you. And so they were sent by the Holy Spirit. Notice the common theme throughout all of Acts that it's a strategy, but it isn't a strategy by the apostles. They haven't been moving forward because of the disciples. They haven't looked around and go, oh, we should go there. Oh, we should go there. They took the time to find out what God wanted them to do, and then they did it. It's always God, it's always the Holy Spirit nudging them along, telling them where they are to go next. This is God's plan and his strategy, and these people are servants of that greater plan. It's God's story, and so it's God's rules. God's story, it's God's rules. You do things the way that God tells you to do them. Luke makes sure to remind us that it isn't a story about humans making good decisions. It's not about us making good decisions. It's about us listening to the Lord. This is a story about God spreading his good news throughout the region and using people like me and like you. And so then we move on in verse 4. So being sent out, how were they sent out? By the Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached what? The Word of God. They preached the Word of God, not just the latest good phrase that came along, not just the latest good thing that came along, but they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John Mark with them. This is John. This is Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. It is he is known as John Mark here. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus, who not our Jesus, not the son of our Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus. And notice what it says about Sergius Paulus. It says that he was an intelligent man. He was an intelligent man. He was so smart that he asked to hear what Barnabas and Paul had to say. He was so smart, so intelligent, that he went to the source of the story. And he wasn't just put aside by another person. This man, he called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the Word of God, not just what they had to say about their trip, but they sought to hear the Word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away. He was doing everything he could to turn the proconsul away and to not allow him to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, this is the first time he's called Paul, he'll be called Paul throughout the remainder of it. What was he? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure I'm filled with the Holy Spirit before I do what Paul just did. I want to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Because sometimes I can be really annoyed by someone. Anybody else ever have that problem? There's just somebody you kind of get annoyed with. And you want to just like... I want to make sure that what I'm saying has the Holy Spirit behind me. And you know what? We have a misconception sometimes that if the Holy Spirit is the one speaking, it's going to be like, oh, honey, you know, I just... Sometimes, like we see here, the Holy Spirit goes right to the center of the matter. And this is, we can tell this by the way that he says, that Saul says it, Paul says it. And he said, okay, so he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked intently at him. You know what that look means? What do you know about the mom look? He gave him the mom look. You know how you could, when your kids were little, you could direct them a little bit? Not every time, but a little bit. You just gave them a look, and they go, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, okay, huh? Sit here, okay, yeah, I could. Yeah, and so that's how he looked at him, and he said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Do you think he raised his voice, or do you think he just did it in that kind of calm, to the point? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately, a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Sometimes we need to be blinded. Paul was looking back to when he was blinded. He needed to be blinded so that he could be led by someone else, because if he could have seen, he wouldn't have been led. He wouldn't allow someone to lead him. And this that is happening to this man, we don't know what happened to him afterwards. But I would venture to say, this is my own opinion. This is not scriptural. I have nothing to base it on. This is my own opinion, that as he had someone lead him, that someone led him to Jesus Christ. And so here he is doing the same thing that Paul did. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, but being astonished at what? At the teaching of the Lord. Not being astonished at the act, but being astonished by the teaching of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his party set sail for Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark departed from them. We don't know why he returned to Jerusalem. We don't know why. We don't have any understanding of it. He'll come up later with Barnabas. But we know that at this point he departed. Maybe he got frightened. Maybe he was young enough that he got frightened by what just happened here. Maybe there was something, and I'm just throwing this out, maybe there was something going on in his life, and he thought, oh, I don't want to be blinded. I don't want this to happen to me, so I'm just going to leave. We don't know why he left. We just know that he left. And we don't know because it's not important to the story. And so we move on. And he returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia. And so this is one of the seven cities of Antioch. Perga, that they departed from, Perga means earthy, very earthy. That's the meaning of that name. And Pamphylia, of course, is modern-day Turkey. And where did they go? But when they departed, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. So they went into the synagogue, they went to the Jews first. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Oh, can you see Paul just jumping up? Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. Of course I do. Now, what was this? Why would they ask them to do this? They were new to the synagogue. They were visitors to the synagogue. When we went to Hawaii, the first time we went to Hawaii, we stayed in an apartment that was next to a church. And so we went to the church service, and in the church service, the person in charge asked me, "Do you have anything, a word of exhortation or encouragement for the group?" And you guys who know me a little bit know that I couldn't have told him my name right then. You're standing up there just hoping that God's going to say something. But they didn't have this problem. Paul was ready in season and out of season. He had stuff to say. They went into the synagogue there, and so these guys never had to stop and think. They were ready in season and out of season. And he said, "Men of Israel and those who fear God, pay attention. Men of Israel and those who fear God, pay attention. Please pay attention." Then Paul stood up and he said that. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people," verse 17, "when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it." He starts back to their days of captivity. He starts and he tells them the story. He preaches the gospel. He retells history. And it sounds an awful lot as you read through it, just like what Stephen said. Remember, Paul was there when Stephen was being stoned. He was holding the garments. He would have heard what Stephen had to say. Paul was a relatively young believer still at this point. And he used the very things that Stephen said, and he re-said them. And so they start back in the days of captivity. And I do have a little bit of a problem with the translation here in verse 18. "Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness." God never puts up with anybody. I can never say, "Oh, God's just putting up with me," because that's not a correct translation of that word. The word that's used here can be translated a number of different ways, and the way that I prefer to have it translated is "feed as a nursing mother." Feed as a nursing mother. So when they were there for those 40 years, God fed them as a nursing mother. He took care of them. He met their needs. And when he had destroyed seven nations, that's all the Vites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the blood, the Ites, and the Termites, and all of the Ites there, and the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them, gave them their allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years, until Samuel the prophet was the last judge. We remember that from when we learned it when we were going through the book of Samuel. And he was the last judge, and he was the one who would usher in the king. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when God had removed him, God removed King Saul. No one else removed King Saul. In fact, Saul didn't even want to remove himself. God removed him because of his disobedience with the Amalekites, because of not walking in obedience. God raised up for them David as king, to whom also God gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will." And David did all of God's will. He did all of God's will, whatever that was. There are times we look at David and we see his weakness. Yes, he was a man. He had failures, but he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who knew how to repent. He knew how to deal with it. "From this man's seed raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course. This is John the Baptist. Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandal of whose feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, verse 26, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, you who are Jews by lineage, and you who are among us who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. It's to you Jews that the word has been sent. You have all the history. You know all of it. And for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath. You heard it every Sabbath, and still you didn't see it. Still you didn't hear it. Every Sabbath this was put on. Do you ever come into church and go, I think I've heard this before? Do you ever go in and think, I really didn't get anything from that. I already know that. That's what they were doing. Oh, I already know that. And not knowing that Jesus was the fulfillment of that. And in your not recognizing that, it says in verse 27, you have fulfilled them in condemning him. And then we start the Easter story that we just went through. Easter, which we have just celebrated. Resurrection, which we have just celebrated. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Why did they ask Pilate? Because they could only stone Jesus to death. And the prophets said that Jesus would be crucified. And even though they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, even though they didn't believe that these prophecies were true, they fulfilled them through their unbelief. Unbeknownst to them, they were fulfilling them. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a tomb, but God, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. We know that 500 people, we see in Corinthians, 500 people saw him after the resurrection, saw him walking around. Then we have the road to Emmaus when the disciples saw him there. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. We're telling you these are good things. This is glad tidings. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now, this particular scripture has been used by some of the cults, by Jehovah's Witnesses, by Mormons, to say that Jesus was a created being. Jesus was not a created being. Jesus was always God. He was not, this is not what it's talking about here today. I have begotten you. This verse is not about the virgin womb. It's about the virgin tomb. No one had ever laid in that tomb before, and Jesus was only going to be borrowing it for a short time. And he knew that. That's what this verse is about. It refers to the resurrection. This day I have raised you up. This day I have begotten you. This day I have raised you up. And so it goes on in verse 34, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken this, I will give you the sure mercies of David. This is not talking about David in Isaiah 55. It is talking about Jesus not seeing corruption. Therefore, verse 35, he also says in another psalm, in Psalm 16, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. What are we talking about? You will not, Jesus' body would not see corruption. It would not, it was not dust unto dust. It was not ashes to ashes. It would not see any corruption at all. For David, verse 36, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, died, fell asleep and died, was buried with his fathers, and he saw corruption. He went dust to dust. He went ashes to ashes. But he, whom God raised up, saw no corruption. God is raising us up. This body will see corruption, but this soul will never see corruption because of what Jesus did, because Jesus Christ gave his life and rose from the dead. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Now, here's the gospel. He's really gotten to the gospel now. The forgiveness of sins, and by him, everyone who believes, trusts in, relies on, clings to, adheres to, that's what believes mean, is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses could not save you. The law could never save you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Be careful, guys, because what he's talking about is Habakkuk 1:5. It says, look and marvel and behold, you despisers. I've memorized it differently. Marvel and perish, for I will work a work in your time that you would not believe, even though it were told to you. And I've used this scripture so many times to encourage people and say, God's going to do something in your life. You wouldn't even believe it, even if God told you. But if you take this in context, it goes with what he's saying here. Because in context, the Chaldeans are going to come in. And they're going to purify you. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be a rough time. You're going to go through some really hard stuff. And he's warning them, beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles who had been hearing this, they were in the court of the Gentiles, begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes, those who had come into Judaism, followed Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Barnabas spoke to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? God's riches at Christ's expense. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear what these guys had to say, to hear something new, to hear something for their itching ears. They came together to hear the word of God. That's how important the word of God is to us. They came together to hear the word of God. And you can tell when the gospel is sinking in, when there's a change in the whole community. I remember stories pretty much in the Midwest of small towns where a preacher would come in and they would preach the gospel just as it's been preached here. And the whole town, the bars closed, the liquor store closed, the other things that were in the town were closed. There was no need for them. Because the people had come to Jesus. The whole community had come to Jesus. That's when it's a work of the Holy Spirit, and you see that happening. That's a move of the Holy Spirit walking through a particular area. And so, verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, they were jealous, and contradicted and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. The things that they listened to before have now become something that's annoying them. And look what happens. Then Barnabas and Paul grew bold because of it and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. And they said, you have judged yourself unworthy of salvation. What are you talking about? I'm a Jew. For goodness sakes, what are you talking about? That I made the decision that I can't be. Do you know who I am? I'm of the lineage of this and that and the other thing. No, no, you have judged yourself to be unworthy of salvation because you will not see the fulfillment of the scripture, the promise that you have been given throughout all of these years. And so we're going to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And so they were being that light to the Gentiles. Verse 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified these guys who had come in. Who did they glorify? Let's hear it all together. Wow. Can we hear that together again? What was it? They glorified the word of the Lord. They glorified the Lord. I'm tempted to say, look to the person next to you and say, they glorified the Lord. A little action in here, right? And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, this is something we can get stuck on. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. How many of those? Well, whoever believed were appointed. All they had to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's how you know that you were appointed. You accept Christ. It doesn't have any other meaning other than that. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the whole region. The whole region. And so, everywhere. Because it wasn't just the apostles, but also the new disciples spreading the word of God. It wasn't just the disciples. It wasn't just the apostles. It was everybody who had heard. Now the word's really going out. But now, in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. And so now they're stirring up the devout, the prominent, those who have, who stand to lose their positions. Those are the ones who are being stirred up, the ones who are going to lose their position if they go on with what's being said. Be careful, ladies, that you're not deceived by the idea of power. Don't be deceived by the idea of power and what God's doing in your life. Don't be deceived by it. Don't allow yourself to be misled. But it didn't bother the apostles. In verse 51, they shook off the dust from their feet against them and said, okay, fine. We're going on to Iconium. But do you see how the Lord just worked there? Maybe they would have stayed a little bit longer. Maybe they would have gone on to minister some more in that area. But God said, no, 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 it's time to go. And so he allowed them to be pushed out. How many of us look and we just go, oh, well, this is the enemy that's happening. This is the enemy that's doing this against me. No, sometimes it's just the Lord saying, you need to be out of here. You got other things to do. You got people to see, places to go. They shook off the dust, and the disciples were filled with joy, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And so Paul and Barnabas told their story. They told his story. They told the history, his story. These men were driven by their love for Christ. What drives us? They were driven by their love for Christ. What drives me? What drives you? They had an answer because of what they were living. Let's have an answer. Let's have a reason for what we're doing here. A reason for getting up in the morning. Let it be for something more than to just exercise. Let's get up in the morning. Exercise is good. I'm not putting that down. But when we get up in the morning, let our first words be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I get to do what I get to do. that I get to share. Let's have an answer. Let's be a part of this story. Let's be a part of his story. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for these precious ladies. I pray, God, that deep into our hearts we would know that we are walking the way that you want us to walk. Lord, that we would take the time to be in prayer and fasting and seeking your direction, that we would move forward, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would move forward in the direction that you give us, and that you would be glorified in our lives, Lord, that we wouldn't receive any of the glory, Lord. Paul and Barnabas received none of the glory for themselves. Thank you, Lord. That what an example for us, Lord, to not take any of the glory for ourselves. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.